Hello and a very warm welcome to Business by Outra, the sports and business podcast. My name is Kim Schulze and I regularly have the honor of talking to special personalities from the outdoor and sporting good industry. In cooperation with Outra, the ecosystem for the outdoor bike and sports industry, whose digital tools optimize the customer journey and increase the sales of brands and their retail partners. Together, we look at relevant content through the eyes of industry experts and enthusiasts. Hello and a very warm welcome to Business by Outra, the sports business podcast. My name is Kim Schulze and I regularly have the honor of talking to special personalities from the outdoor and sporting good industry. In cooperation with Outra, the ecosystem for the sports industry, whose digital tools optimize your customer journey and increase your retail and your retail partner's sales. Together, we look at relevant content through the eyes of industry experts. I'm very much looking forward to my second episode with you, Dan. Hello again.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Dan Yates is working for Protect Our Winters, POW. I, of course, recommend to listen to our first episode where Dan introduces himself, the dreams and the authenticity that drives you and why you are there where you are. So ideally, to start and come back into the complete flow of our conversation, you are engaging the outdoor community in environmental action. That's what your LinkedIn says. And your job title is the partnership manager. You describe what you do and why, as said in the first episode. For now, it would be great if we deep dive into the projects and programs you do. To summarize, education, climate offsetting, deforestation, and change making is your key responsibility with POW and you as a person as well. We had some projects from yourself, which were the main pillars for 2023 on mobility. On mobility, on advocacy programs with brands, on COP in November, how to contribute. You said you will influence the European elections and you have some concrete working fields like a brand good heart table or events and also the FIS athlete program. So you can decide how you use now your audience to start with what can we do as an industry to support you in the most important field of play. We learned it's the political action, but maybe you can deep dive it now to some real concrete actions. What's most important for you? Give us a journey.
I think the action that we're currently working on and has probably received more media attention and more outside attention than almost anything else that we've done in POW globally, and kind of encompasses all the things that we do at POW was the recent action by FIS athletes to push for greater sustainability at FIS. We work with athletes all the time. Athletes are our superpower at POW. The athletes have a huge voice when it comes to reaching the community and creating change. If we look at the reach of POW, the POW chapters across Europe, all 10 of us, and the sort of central chapter POW Europe combined, we speak to about 100,000 people through our newsletters, through our LinkedIn, through our Instagram. But when we look at the reach of our athletes, we have a POW Athlete Alliance, athletes that want to engage in climate action. And they come from all sports, whether that's surfers, climbers, mountain bikers, skiers, snowboarders, whether they're alpine racers or free riders, you know, the whole gamut of outdoor athletes. When we look at the reach that they gain when they speak to their community, they speak to about 3 million people through their channels. So they have a huge reach and a huge level of power, of role modeling, of influence that we can't have as POW. And we try and enable that as much as possible. We offer our athletes or the athletes of brands training to speak clearer on climate, to be more effective in climate action. And I think the very zenith of this that we've seen recently is Julian Schutter, who is an alpine racer, is a member of Austria's, Pau Austria's Athlete Alliance. So he's a Pau athlete from Austria. He's also sponsored by Atomic, who is one of our brand partners. He decided that he had enough of the kind of intransparency and apparent lack of action from FIS on sustainability and particularly on climate. So he wanted to launch an open letter to FIS demanding set things. Basically, what Julian was calling for was committing to reaching net zero for all operations and events by 2035 or before, for FIS to publish their sustainability strategy on how to achieve a 50% emissions reduction by 2030, had for FIS to install a sustainability department, and for full transparency on FIS's actions, such as their carbon footprint measurements and the offsetting that they use to offset the impact that they have. And he was calling for those things. But he was able, as a Pau athlete, to turn to Pau to help him with policy and the sort of scientific wording of his letter. We have, obviously, our Science Alliance. We have policy experts that we work with. So we were able to fine-tune his letter of asks. We were then able to use our media contacts.
One question in between then, sorry.
Yeah?
Does that mean, so everything you pointed out, as if that were bullet points from the letter he wrote, does that mean that this is not enabled now in FIS? Nothing? Or where's the status quo to make sure that all our listeners listen on the right ear?
So FIS, so to sort of say the status quo where we are at the moment, FIS has become a signatory of the UNFCCC Sports for Climate Action, which has a number of pillars that must be met in order to sort of qualify as a signatory. So although they've signed, a lot of those pillars to do with reporting, education, etc., have not been met. And UNFCCC Sports for Climate Action do not list them as a signatory on their website. So there's a gap there between what FIS is saying and what has actually happened. FIS claims that it's climate positive due to offsetting in the global south in Peruvian rainforests, but there's no public record of where those offsets occur, the additionality of those offsets, the carbon sequestration of those offsets, the permanence of those offsets. None of that has been published by FIS. And Julian and other athletes feel that FIS also relies too heavily on its offsets to claim its climate positivity. It isn't doing very simple things like altering the race calendar to reduce the amount of transport of the athletes. For instance, the male athletes had to travel across the Atlantic back and forth twice this year, whereas it could have quite easily just been once with a small calendar readjustment. So they feel that there's plenty that FIS can be doing to cut emissions before they're turning to offsets. So that's where the sort of status quo is now. And that's what Julian wanted to tackle. So he turned to us at Pau. We were able to help him word his request as clearly as possible, although Julian did the vast majority of work on that himself, and all the calls were his own. We were able to arrange a press conference where this open letter would be delivered, which was at the World Champs in Courchevel, because we have Pau France on the ground there. We were able to organize a press conference for him. And then we were able to contact our brand partners, brands such as Burton, North Face, Atomic, Nidecker, who all have FIS registered athletes, and ask them to share that letter with those athletes to get a mass of signatures on board before the letter was delivered. And as a result of that letter delivery date, we had over 140 FIS athletes sign, including some of the biggest in the world, Michaela Schifrin, Alexander Kilder, ex-free ride world tour, you know, world champions, Aria Tocomi and Xavier Delarue had all signed the letter. Thanks to that outreach that Pau was able to provide. And since then, and since it's gone public, over 420 athletes have signed up now to this.
In which amount of weeks? That's brand new.
So the World Champs was 12th or 13th of February was letter delivery. So around 3 weeks.
A huge reach. And what were the reactions from the various stakeholders, fields of play, etc.?
I mean, the reaction from the media has been incredible. It's been everywhere from the Washington Post to the Hindu Times, and it's been ubiquitously covered by the German-speaking media across Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. It's been on TV, you know, more times than I can imagine, all of which incredibly positive and supportive of the athletes' actions. In terms of stakeholders alongside the brands, I've been very impressed with how quickly brands like Atomic, like Burton, like Nideco shared this with their athletes, how supportive they've been of their athletes taking action. And it's been great for the brands as well. I mean, within 2 weeks of Atomic signing as a partner of PAL at European level, they're a new global partner for us. They had their top athletes talking about climate on about 8 different TV channels, and they were featured in the New York Times. So I think it's been great for the brands as well to show that they're committed both at supporting their athletes in their desires to strive for a better world, but also in their own desires for a more sustainable future for the snow sports industry as well.
This is absolutely impressive, and of course something I followed, and I thought this might be a good restart for the podcast after a pause. So what are the learnings? Are there any already, because it's like brand new and up and running, but do you have already some?
I think already the learnings are, Julian is a very committed climate activist, Julian Schutter, the leader of this action, and he's already supported by PAL, by our PAL Athlete Alliance, and he has that ability to reach out. What we did notice and what was commented on by the brands was some of these huge name athletes like Michaela Schifrin were then pulled up on TV to talk about race success, but then were also asked their reasons for signing the letter too. And what was learned was that we need to be able to give brands the ability to train their athletes in the way that our PAL athletes are supported, give them media training on environment and climate, give them media training on how to express the fact that they want to make a difference in this world, even if they're maybe not perfect themselves, even if they're having to be a part of this imperfect world. They might have to take a flight to a competition, or they might have to drive more miles than they want to train or compete. They still have a voice, and they still have a right to call for things to be different, to sort of face that fear of hypocrisy that they have. So as a result of that, Atomic have asked us to come and give climate and media training to their athletes on this, even the ones that aren't PAL athletes already. So their whole team has this ability to communicate on these topics. That's been a big learning, that maybe that should have been in place before. You know, and Atomic have realized that and have called PAL in, and we're more than happy to help with that. So that's been a big learning.
You know what? Please don't forget what you were saying, but just adding that's one of the answers for how can I change something as an individual. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, the ability to communicate is key when it comes to individuals having that impact. A good friend of mine who was back in my days as a river activist said, you don't need to be a scientist to be an environmentalist. You just need to be a human with a voice.
Was there something you wanted to add? Otherwise, I have some other questions.
No, you can go. I could talk about this letter action forever because it's...
this first one, just to end it, because I wanted you to share the learnings, because that really makes it for everything. It's for sustainability, for superpower. Where can we all use our individual motivation? Because we work in that industry and we love working there. And of course, we want to influence a lot of people to start working there, but in a different attitude, to really make sure that we take care and protect. But to end this, not to end, but to open the discussion even more, how did FIS react?
So FIS have initially reacted by just restating their current claims, which was, we're climate positive, we do this offsetting, but with no information around that their sustainability kind of strategy is in place, but it just hasn't quite been published yet, despite the fact it was announced 2 years ago that it would be there any second. So this initially replied quite evasively. Since then, and very recently, I think this happened like 2 days ago, they have started to publish some of the data that we've asked for. So we've seen now on their website the publication of their 2021 carbon footprint assessment, which was carried out by a company called PlanetMark. No sign of their 2022 assessment yet. So far, only one assessment from October 2021. So, you know, 2.5 years ago or whatever, that one's been published. So we are starting to see some of the information come out from FIS now, which is great. The optimist in me would say that perhaps they are doing everything and it is all on its way. But the cynic within me would say they've been slow to publish them, some of this, because their sustainability actions are not quite where they should be. So it's an ongoing process, but we have seen some response and we will certainly be keeping the pressure on throughout the off season. And if nothing has happened and there's no, you know, kind of full transparency or full publication of the details we're asking for by the start of the race season this coming fall, then we'll pick up the action again.
Thank you very much for that outlook. And also, of course, a call to action to the industry. Before we come to our next question, which will be, please pick out one other project. It could be the mobility program or one of the 10 others you named, which are important for you from 2023. It could also be the COP or the brand hardcore table. You can choose. But before we hear a short commercial, here's a commercial to follow. Do you know what Deuter, Orthovox, Atomic, Bergans, DeWalt, Schuster-Sport, Globetrotter and several other outdoor brands have in common? They are outdoor enthusiasts, yes, of course, but they also work together in the Outra ecosystem to create a new customer journey. Outra will be your game changer for retail strategy. Their tools to data availability and transparency enable a flow of sales like you've never experienced before. With Outra, end consumers can directly see on your brand website in which stores your product is available. They can make reservations and pick up, and they can search for alternatives products to make appointments with your retail partner. So sign up for this ecosystem that has become a key player in the outdoor and sports industry. It will change the way you perform in retail. Contact and information at outra.com with a double T. So we're back to you, Dan. Have you decided for one of your key projects to bring us into a little more detailed level, as we did already with FIS, and how we can also support to spread the word?
I think with the audience that we're talking to, a predominantly business audience, I'd love to talk about business political advocacy action that we ran last year and that we'll be picking up again this year, which was we got together with...
I interrupt you. You need to definitely add that all of us are enthusiasts and consumers and mountain lovers.
No, of course. Of course. So this
sorry for interrupting. Continue.
No, this enthusiastic outdoor industry community that we're speaking to, I'm sure as enthusiastic as taking part in the outdoors as they are as working in that field. And I think that's why it works, because the people that we work with in brands are not just passionate about making the best product, you know, and marketing that. They're also passionate about going to the places where those products are used and enjoying them for themselves. And I think that's the reason that the outdoor industry can have such a good impact, why its superpower can be, you know, working to protect the places that its markets rely on. I think because the vast majority of the people I've met in that industry are also enthusiasts themselves. So I think that's really key. And thanks for reminding me of that.
Before we deep dive too much into our business language, of course we need to, but the enthusiastic is the most important thing where you can deliver purpose.
I think so. Yeah, definitely. If you don't love the places where your product's used, or the use of your product itself, then it's very difficult to do that job well, I think. And that's what we look for in POW, is brands that want to protect those places where their products get used, you know, because they love them as much as their customers do. So what we did as part of that was look at brands that we partner with already that have interesting sustainability stories, ones that are huge brands, and obviously that story is difficult for them, others that are smaller brands that are very that are very vocal and very passionate on it, put them all in a room together. And so we worked in this case with Internet Fusion Group, who is a retailer. We worked with Picture Organic Clothing, with The North Face, with Icebug, who's a footwear manufacturer, and then with Burton, who is a hard goods manufacturer. So we worked with either the CEOs or the sustainability managers of those companies to draft what they felt was missing from ambition in sustainability legislation currently. Calls on common reporting, calls on the importance of rollout in renewables in producer countries, and the recognition of that. Basically calls to remove the market disadvantages from those brands that are taking strides in sustainability.
Hey, this is a commercial. Do you know what Deuter, Artevox, Atomic Bergans, DeWalt, Sport 2000, Bechley, Sportler, Schuster, and Globetrotter, plus several other outdoor brands have in common? They are outdoor enthusiasts, yes, of course. And they work together with the Outra ecosystem, which is a game changer for brands and retailers. The Outra tools for data exchange and data analysis enable a flow of sales like you've never experienced before. With Outra, where to buy, consumers can directly see on a brand's website in which stores a product is available. With the Outra Data and Image Hub, brands and retailers can finally exchange product data and images efficiently. Interested in testing the Data and Image Hub? Take the opportunity and request a free demo of the with your brand specific data. It pays you back quickly. The offer is valid until Outdoor by ISPO in June 2024. Sign up for this ecosystem and become a major player in outdoor bike and sports industry. Contact and information at outra.com with a double T.
Sustainability, and to make that the required norm for all. You know, that was what we were looking for. So they drafted a letter which was targeted. We did a sort of a target mapping of the EU negotiators that specialized in that subject and will be attending COP27. And then we opened it up to the outdoor industry, over 100 brands, some huge, some tiny shops, you know, big brands like Artevox and Mammut and Nidecker, small, you know, retail groups, all signed up to this letter. And then we presented that to COP27, to the EU negotiators there, and we've had some responses from that. The follow-up from that this year will be we're working with a public relations specialist to do a full legislative gap mapping of EU legislation on sustainability going forwards, look at what is planned and will meet the demands of the letter and look in what is missing, and then reopen that conversation with those decision makers at an EU level, bringing the brands back to that so they can talk direct to those political decision makers and get them and apply the pressure that business needs to make political difference in that sector. So that's one of my projects for this year that as partnership manager sort of falls under my job remit and I'm really excited about doing.
So that means concrete that we all working in the outdoor industry will get the wish from you on our desk in our email boxes to participate.
We will. The mapping is going to take some time because it's quite an unusual time in the EU Parliament at the moment. They're facing up to elections next year. They're reaching the end of a legislative cycle, I suppose, if you want to word it that way. So we're going to do a full mapping through probably Q2 of this year, and then that will be complete. And then we'll be expecting these emails in your inbox Q3. Asking for you to take action again.
So, and to remember COP27, if you're mentioning that will be in Egypt in November, right?
Yeah, so COP this year will again be in November. But it's probably at this case, the last time the call was directed at COP, but this time we'll need to look at the legislation that's missing and where our ambitions lie to fix the gaps between what we called for in the letter and what is actually going to be on the statute books. And then we'll do a full target mapping on who the most appropriate people to speak to are to solve that. That might be negotiators at COP, but this time, actually, it might be secondary legislation administratives within the EU, but well, that's where we can bring that kind of policy expertise to fine tune that target group.
Okay, and maybe now without the normal question round on what we already heard from you, not to duplicate something, I would love to hear something which is maybe more a personal thing, but of course, being you working in that field of play, how do you see, how do you judge, how do you feel on if Protect Our Winters, the first assumption is, where was the snow, where is the snow, where is the development behind it, can we still, because when we start discussing in between friends, maybe the same on your field, you're living in the UK, but when we start conversations, is it still doable to go skiing? Should we teach our kids? How far do we see the development of the resorts? Are there some which can be supported because we use them as the resort to travel to? How's the mobility aspect? Can you give us, as the ending of our second, like the concrete one, a little opinion piece from yourself, maybe Pau, whatever. Give us your thoughts.
On the future of skiing. Oh, wow. This is a big one. Personally, when I travel in the Alps on foot or on a rope in the summer or in my kayak in the summer or on my mountain bike or whether I'm on my split board trying to find wild areas of the Alps in the winter, I feel like it's already an incredibly heavily developed area. Like, it looks on first glance so stunning and unspoiled, but then you see infrastructure everywhere the more you start to look. And I feel that our development of the mountain areas in the Alps surely has reached saturation point. And this is, bear in mind, this is my sort of personal view. I'm not necessarily saying this is a sort of Pau policy view, but expansion of ski resorts now, particularly up into unspoiled glacier areas, I think needs to be limited. As soon as we start interfering with these glaciers more, we build more developments on them, we piece them, we, you know, put lift lines on them, we're speeding and increasing the rate of melt of those glaciers, which is already at unprecedented levels. And it isn't just the fact that we'll lose those glaciers in terms of a wilderness area to go ski touring on. It's the fact that a million people downstream of glaciers in the Alps are dependent on them for water supply, for agriculture. So I feel that expansion of ski resorts has kind of reached the point where I feel like I'd like to not see it go any further, certainly. I also feel that constantly chasing higher elevations to build ski resorts, constantly chasing, you know, more snowmaking and water resource used for snowmaking, constantly chasing flights to Japan to go and find the powder there, or, you know, trips to Lofoten, means that we're almost insulating ourselves from the impact that we're having on snowfall and climate, and that what we need to be doing is facing it and tackling it directly, rather than this constant scrabble to mitigate to still be able to do our sport. Yeah, I think I guess I also come from a very, you know, before Pau, I worked for a preservation of wild places NGO, or I founded a preservation of wild places NGO. So I'm very much of the militant, let's not build anything else camp. And I understand that's not what everybody's viewpoint, but that's definitely the background I come from.
So for the wish, we heard a lot. Get in contact, get engaged, rebuild your organization, focus on what's really important for still having an industry in a few years. Otherwise, things will change. Not last, but for now, in this episode, call to action or the possibility to end this episode, where I thank you a lot. And I know what's going on your desk at the moment. So thank you so much. And I enjoy very much speaking to you. I hope we have a lot of possibilities. Take the last words, highlight what you want to see this year, or...
I'd love to see more brands taking action with Pau. I'd love to see brands using their business voice for political action, not being scared to speak up on politics. I'd love to see brands work more on their sustainability, but not just in terms of, you know, sort of, are we going to make this jacket with more recycled material, but in terms of making sustainability the heart and the core of
everything. Do you want me to interrupt you?
you know, I just
sorry.
I just don't want the, you know, I want brands to make sustainability the core of everything they do, from how they travel to how they heat their office to what sort of energy their factories in the Far East are using. You know, like the whole, it needs to be the whole, sustainability needs to be first and foremost in people's minds when they do it. And then communicating out on the importance of protection of the places that their products are used. So whether that's through engaging their athletes in being storytellers and communicators on climate, whether it's to do with, you know, engaging their customers and community on becoming advocates for climate as well. So I'd love to see brands take this holistic, you know, 100% 360 degree approach on tackling climate and protection of our wild places as being the core aspect of their business strategy. And here at POW, we'd love to help them do that.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dan. You were interrupted. We had so many technical good and bad things in our podcast. So everything was said. And thank you very much. And I hope that me as a person, Kim, but also all the outdoor enthusiasts we all know with the network promote what you do. Thanks a lot for sharing. And thanks for your enthusiasm, which always inspires a lot. So whatever you can, when you listen to our podcast right now, please spread the word, as I already said. Share our podcast. Try to engage as many people as you can for individual action, but also for your field of play for work. Dan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure. And thank you for everybody listening to Business by Outcha. Bye-bye.
Hey, to jump off with a personal message. Do you like my podcast or not? Then help me get better or stay good. Preferably via LinkedIn. And please spread the word, share it, and make our content even more relevant. Thank you very much, and see you next time.